Jeff shared last week really kind of what it looks like to be an authentic Christian. That's what you and I are supposed to be. And he shared some things through the Word of God, and he used the mirror illustration. And I kind of thought I'd just build on that a little bit. I'm going to let this hand represent Jeff. He's a wiry guy, always on the move. And what he was sharing last week is, I want to become like Jesus. What does that look like? How do I obtain that? What are the things that God wants me to do and not do? That's a very valid direction for us to go. So I'm being like Jesus. And he's using the Word of God to mirror that. I'm going to let this hand be me. I'm a little slower now these days. But I'm working on being like Jesus, because I think what Jeff taught last week was right. So here's the two of us. We're working on being like Jesus, trying to be authentic Christians. Now God says, I want you to be authentic community. So these two guys got to do this. It's hard enough doing this to be like Jesus. It's even harder to join together and be one. Have you experienced that in your own home? How many of here have had fights and discourse in the home? Yeah? Tension. It's always going on. And God gives us pretty explicit directions how we can do that. And really, Jeff over here trying to become like Jesus, it's impossible. Can't do it. The nature that he inherited from his mom, born into sin, God tells us, can't do it. But the good news is, Jeff came to the point where he realized he was a sinner and Christ died for him. And he said, yes, Lord, I accept the payment you paid for my sins, which I could not do. And Jesus gifted him with the Holy Spirit to become like Christ. And Chick did the same at different times in our lives. And now we're understanding as we become like Christ, we can be this together. Very powerful for us to know as a church, we want to be an authentic community. We want to look at the scriptures and see what God says, what that looks like. And that is impossible for us to accomplish on our own. It has to be the Spirit of Christ. And if you're not always aware of that, chances are you're not going to accomplish that. Now, I kind of thought the church, why do we do the things we do down through the ages? The church is about 2,000 years old from the first century, where Christ came, died, was buried, rose again, ascended, left gifts to the church, and the church was started, was birthed. And we're trying to become what God wants us to be. So we want to look at that just a little bit briefly today, and then we want to take a look at us as Hope Community and our 30-year anniversary and look about in the back in the past, why do we do the things we do? But I thought of this illustration. Sally was a little girl who watched her mom every Sunday morning take the roast out of the refrigerator, cut off the ends, put it in a pot, put potatoes in there, make some gravy with flour and some tomatoes and all these little special things. And she cooked it while they went to church. And then after church, they'd come home and they'd have this wonderful meal of roast beef and mashed potatoes. The neat thing about this is that was a tradition of my family. We always had eye roast on Sundays. And I loved it, because I love beef. Roast beef was good. And this was something that Sally would watch her mom do week after week after week. When Sally grew up, she, wanting the same tradition, started that. And she would go about the same idea. She would take the roast out, she would cut off the ends, put it in the pot, all the potatoes. She had a few new spices because she's a little bit different, but she kept the tradition. And Susie would watch, Sally's daughter. And Susie was watching year after year, she was growing up as a little girl. And then one day, Susie said, "Mommy, why do you cut off the ends of the roast beef?" And Sally didn't know. Sally watched her mom. So she went back to her mom and said, "Mom, Susie asked me why I cut the end of the roast beef off, and I don't know. It's something you always did. So I did what you did." Well, Sally's mom didn't know. She said, "I have to go back to my mom." So this was Susie's great-grandmother. Finally, they caught up with the great-grandmom. And the great-grandmom, after she was asked how come she cut off the ends of the roast beef, her answer was, "Because it wouldn't fit in my pot." So sometimes we do things over and over again just because it's tradition. It is always good to ask why we do the things we do. And we ask that question. When Hope Community Church first started 30 years ago, it was just a small group of us who were in a Bible study. We had no intent at all of starting a church. But we believed that God was leading us, and we began to think about it and what that would look like. And I believe that God allowed us to run into a gentleman who at the time was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. I'm not sure that he's still a professor there, but he's also an author of many books and a pastor of many churches. He started a lot of churches down in Texas called Fellowship Bible Church, the FBC. And we kind of liked that, so we started by naming our church Family Bible Church. We were FBC. But as we began to look into some of the things that Gene Getz wrote about, we began to realize these principles are absolutely biblical. Now, Gene Getz wrote quite a few books. He wrote The Measure of a Woman, and we have that in our library. It's a good book for women to read to see what God expects for a woman, how to live and behave and become like Christ. He also wrote The Measure of a Man, which we use here today when someone in our church desires to be an elder. We use that book as a formula to really walk through what does it mean to be someone who's going to serve God's church as an elder. And it really is basically the qualifications that we find in Timothy and Titus on a church leader or elder. A wonderful book, and we've used it down through the ages. He also wrote a book called The Measure of a Church. That is a wonderful book. And basically, and I'm going to share just a little bit of portion with you about this. Basically, he says this: when God looks at a church today, and we sang about God's church worldwide, many churches, many congregations all over the world, but really only one church. When God looks at that church, what are some of the things he's looking for? And in this book that Gene Getz wrote, he uses the scripture to show God, through Paul, through Peter, through the epistles, he is looking for a church that exhibits these characters: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these being love. So then, if that is a truth from the scripture, then we have a format that we can begin to have boundaries for. If we want hope to be a church that really follows God, we want to follow those principles. Then he wrote a book called Sharpening the Focus of the Church, which really isn't a good book just to read. It's really a textbook. It's a book that kind of architects what the church should be like. And I just want to kind of focus in on that a little bit. Is there an echo? Are we having some trouble with that, Dave? All right, Dave's going to work that out. I don't want that to distract you, so pay attention to me, all right? Do this here and here, okay? This is what we're doing. Gene Getz does a few things to help us understand what the scriptures teach. And if you could throw that one slide up there, that first slide, it kind of looks like the direction that we're going, and there's three lenses that we're looking through. I'm going to kind of go backwards on this, okay? I'm going to take the culture that we're in the present. And what we need to do is understand that the culture we live in is far different than the first century church lived in. So how do we do church in light of that? I went to a church that once said, because they were a little upset of how the young people dressed, we should dress like Christians. Okay, you want me to wear robes, long hair, sandals on my feet? Do you see my point here? Okay, what defines what type of clothes we wear? Our culture has changed. We don't wear the same clothes as the first century did. So we can kind of kick that out. Now, as I get to the first lens of the scripture, we want to always keep that in play. But in our culture, we have the privilege and the freedom to look at what we live in, the culture we live in, and how we can best be people that Jesus wants us to be, living in that culture, never compromising the Word of God. But we have freedom, and unbelievable freedom, and I'm going to get to that a little bit when we get to the looking through the lens of Scripture. Then we have the past. The church from the first century to the 21st century. And there is a lot of history that we can study there. We can recognize as we study history that, for instance, prayer, how God used prayer through the church in our history to recognize the importance of that. Every time there's been a huge revival in certain pockets of the world, it has been surrounded with prayer. Prayer is an essential element, and we must pray. That's why we here at Hope say we don't want to do anything without prayer. The first Sunday of the month is set aside for prayer because we want to be a church that seeks God. But how do we pray? When we look at Scripture, of course, I grew up saying, you got to bow your head and fold your hands and pray. Is that a wrong thing to do? Any answers? Of course not. But, and we're going to see this in the next slide, when I begin to say that's how we must pray, then we start to cross the line within what God's purpose was. We must pray, but the format of prayer is far different, and the freedom of that is huge. And God, in the Scriptures, tells us He looks at the heart. Prayer is really a matter of the heart. Do I understand I'm coming to a holy God in need of His presence in my life, and I depend upon Him for everything? That's the element of prayer. But I can pray on a mountain. I can pray dancing, rejoicing, shouting, quiet, even without speaking a word. Because the form of prayer is not as important as the function, and we're going to talk about that. Then the lens of Scripture. I want to look at what the early church did in the book of Acts. Powerful things that we in the 21st century can learn. Now, not everything that is in the book of Acts was right. Some of the stories that we read, they did it wrong. Peter had to learn that with his whole idea of going to the Gentiles. And remember the vision that Jesus gave him with the animals? And he'd say, no, Lord, I'm never going to do that. He was primarily just trying to stay with the Jewish nation and give them the gospel. God was breaking that whole barrier apart to say, no, it's for everyone. It's my purpose to have all nations all over the world understand I'm building my church and it's going to be worldwide. So they had to learn that. But we can take the book of Acts, we can take the epistles, and we begin to build a framework of what God has in mind for us as a church. I want to turn to Colossians. Let's go to the first chapter of Colossians. Again, this will be a good picture of what Gene gets in his book, The Measure of the Church, looks like. Let me start with verse 3, okay, Jeremy? Paul writing to the Colossae. We always thank God, the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Do you see that aspect of faith, hope, and love? Paul was excited that the church in Colossae was really exercising those truths. And we want to be able, as a church, to really practice that as well. If you could go to the next slide that Jeff put up for us. Now, this is a format that kind of Gene Getz did to help us understand God's heart on this, okay? The first century church met together regularly. They had principles that they wanted to carry out, but their form was varied. We today are to meet regularly because that's what the scripture says. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But there's freedom in form of that. And what he calls that is function and form, or absolutes and non-absolutes. There are some things that you and I need to be doing personally in our lives every day that match up to God's word in order to become what God wants us to be. Who can name one thing that's an absolute for Christians to be doing? Prayer. We already mentioned that. Absolutely. We need to be people of prayer. That's a function. But the form, how we carry that out, is diverse. And we talked about that. You can pray in the closet is one example that Christ gave. And that example was because it was from the heart in Scripture. You can pray on a mountaintop. Here's what happens that's dangerous. When God gives us a function like prayer, and we begin to have traditions of prayer, which is an okay thing. When you begin to pray a certain way, or you gather in your meetings a certain way and pray, and those functions begin, the way you do things, the forms, the non-absolutes of how I pray become absolutes, then we get into trouble. I grew up in a church who would make this statement, this is the way we've always done it. Why? Is it what God wants? Is it a good thing to do? Or is it the method that becomes such a tradition and you hold on so tight that you can't change it? This is something I think that's very powerful for us as a church to learn. And I believe God has given us men through the ages, Gene gets one of them, who were able to understand and deeply read Scripture, study it, and come up with a format. Give me another function or absolute that Christians should be doing in their life. Be in the Word, all right? Absolute. How do we know that? Because the Word of God says, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, in the whole aspect of eating to survive, God takes that and gives us the picture. I need to not only recognize that bread sustains me, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the way that I'm going to be sustained in the Christian life. So, God's word is vital. But you go back to the 18th, 17th century, they had pulpits way up high in the church. And they would read from that and almost got to the point where they said, this is how you have to do it. Reading God's word can be done anywhere, anytime, anyhow, if your heart is right. Because what God wants us to understand is this word is from him. And you and I need to have a hunger, as Peter says, as babes crave for milk. That's how I'm to want to know God's word. So as a church, we began to understand these frameworks. We began to understand that we can, and let me be honest here, there are some churches that would never think about changing the time of their meeting, have it an hour early, and then go to a pancake breakfast at a school. We have to ask ourselves, is that an okay thing to do? How does God look at that? And we believe, as we thought through Gene Getz's formula to understand what the church should be, a church of people coming together, wanting to exalt Christ and he alone, and then carrying out the functions that he wants us to do and be, we have freedom of how we do that. And I really think it's a wonderful formula for us to see through, and I believe it was something that God has given us. And we have tried, as elders who oversee this church here at Hope, that's how we work and operate. Gene Getz said this: wherever you have organism or life, you have to have organization. God is a God of order. But what does that look like? We are not the same church that the first century church was, or what they did, or how they carried out their lives, except for the point of the principles and the absolutes that God said. And I want to kind of give us a little springboard into our next study with coming up. Steve's going to start next week our study of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. These little books are so powerful because it really picks up on that whole idea of the church being faith, hope, and love. In these little books, God gives us a picture, powerful picture, of what he wants us to be, a church that loves. And I believe John, through the Holy Spirit, had this close to his heart, because he picks up on this in John 17, the regular gospel, when Jesus himself said this: Father, I pray that my disciples and all those in the future to the 21st century would be one as you and I are one. Whoa! Stop and think about that. That is God's prayer. When God made the first being, angels were the first being. Who knows how long into eternity past he made angelic beings? Because God always was, always is, and will be. That's hard to fathom. But God, before he ever made anything, the Godhead in existence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were in communion together with this oneness. They needed absolutely nothing. There was full fulfillment and satisfaction with the Godhead. I don't know if we could ever experience that. I think in eternity we will grow to experience it. But the Godhead said, I will create things, because just out of his own pleasure and will, he decided to do that. Knowing that angelic beings would fall away, knowing when he made man, man would fall away, and he had Calvary in mind all the way back then, so that he is going to create not only a Jewish nation, which is the old covenant, but now in the new covenant, a church of many nations that would be one with him. And his prayer would be, Father, I pray that they will be one as you and I are one. Here's what I want to share with that thought. those of us here at Hope Community Church that really believe that Jesus is our Savior and that he came to form a church for all time, universal forever. You and I, if we take his word and look into the mirror, as Jeff shared last week, and say, Lord, I want to become what you want me to become for your glory, because you are worthy of it. And if Jeff works on that and makes that his supreme, how would I want to say it? Supreme goal in life, to be like Jesus, along with working and being a dad and being a husband and being a youth leader, all those things, that's his priority. And that's my priority. And we work at that. Here's what God says we're going to have. We're going to have this beyond measure. He wants us, and it starts in the home. What does your home look like? Is it this? If it's not this, and you come to this here at Hope, we're not going to have that either. God wants us as individuals to really focus on letting him live in us so that we can become what he wants us to be, Jeff here, me here, and then coming together where we love each other through the power of God and the way he wants us and what he wants us to accomplish. If we do that, there is no stopping us. And we don't get the glory for that. That's Christ in us, working, carrying out his will, changing us for us to become what he wants. And just from an elder's heart, I want to share with you, God is helping us do that. We still do things wrong. We still sin against each other. We sin against God. But God is helping us here at Hope to be a family that works together for his glory. Whether it's pancake breakfast, VBS, going to Puerto Rico. See, I have a part in that. I'm not going, but I have a part in that. I can pray. I can get excited for each one who's going, for the Madova crowd. There's 8 of them going now. It's marvelous. And as we, you and I, begin to recognize that we want to be an authentic community, one that really exemplifies Christ's heart, then there's no stopping us. Because, and Jesus said this, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. My church will prevail. And we read the outcome. God's church will prevail powerfully, and we can be part of that. What a privilege that is for us to be. I want to challenge you as I close today, going back to Jeff's illustration. I'm going to share a little secret. This could be dangerous. There's times, and here's what I want you to do. I do this in the bathroom mirror. Whatever mirror, if you have a mirror in your bedroom, I want you to, I'm going to pretend this, I'm going to lift this up a little bit. This is the mirror in my bedroom. And there's times, as I try to commune with God, I look into the mirror. Now, I know you all look into the mirror from time to time. But there's times I look in the mirror and I try to look right at the eyes that I see in the mirror. And I don't worry about my hair or my complexion or anything like that. I look and I say, what do you see, chick? I want to look deep through the eyes into the soul. Who are you really? What do you really want to become? You know, sometimes that's pretty frightening. Because I see my ugliness. I understand the depth of my sin at times, but I don't stop there because I understand deeply what Christ has accomplished for me. I look into that mirror and I see failures, and yet I see that Christ redeemed me. I'm his child, undeserved of that. And yet he saved me so that I can live fulfilled for him. And I take this time and I say, Lord, change the guy that I see in the mirror, because he doesn't always live up to what you have in mind for him. And I can honestly say there's times I have seen God work in my life. I believe God is helping me become richer, deeper in the truth of his word. I have a long way to go. But here, and I want to say this as honest as I can, I believe, as genuine as I can be, I believe that's my heart's goal, that God has worked in my heart to be. I want to be a person who pleases Jesus. And then, if that's happening, then I want to say, okay, then what does that mean here in his church? This is the very organization, this is the very being that he died for, his church, you and I. We must not take his church lightly. Here's what the scripture says. It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I am clean, purified before God. And he's in the process of making me what he's already declared me to be. Hallelujah. There's no other response but to fall on my face with submission and say, God, make me what you want me to be. However, through difficulties, trials, and if you and I as a church can begin to work on that more and more, as I believe we are, God will do great things in our midst. Let's pray. Father, we look at your word and we see how far short we fall. But we look at your word and we see how Jesus lived perfectly to obtain our salvation. Thank you for that, Lord. Lord, help us here at Hope to be the church you want us to be. A church that understands your heart. A church that understands the freedom that we have to do different things, different ways, but always abiding by your principles, your commands, your ordinances, Lord, through the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be a church where we really just paint a picture of who you are, the oneness that you and the Father have. Lord, help us to be authentic Christians. Help us to be an authentic community, a congregation that honors you with all of our thoughts, all of our words, and all of our deeds. Let us praise you, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.